Welcome back to day 4 of Sin's Travel Pod. We join Sin today as he wakes up in a nice toasty morning. Obviously, the Friday is a non-running day, so it's generally an easy day with no real rush, so you can kind of get that gist from him. He then takes us on a track walk around the circuit as it's open on the Friday for access to walk around, and provides us with some interesting little snippets and commentary of his track walk around. So if you like the sound of that, then here we go.
It's a Friday morning at campsite. Woke up about 9 o'clock, being absolutely baked by the sun. Do have a bit of a sunshade up in the tent, but sun didn't go behind that until about 9:30. Cooled down a bit then, so stayed in bed till about 10 o'clock when I absolutely had to get up, go use facilities. Just done that, come back to the campsite, had a lovely croissant and pan au chocolat for breakfast, and finally had a cup of tea. Cup of tea, going down nicely. Had a glass of milk to the side as well. Now just chilling in the tent, caught up on a couple of podcasts while eating breakfast. Episode 3 of this travel diary, one of them. Absolutely enjoying doing that so far, and I hope you're enjoying listening. Like I say, no track action today, so I'm just going to chill in the tent for a few hours. I've got a couple of motorsport magazines, race car engineering, to catch up on, and I think a 200 episode podcast backlog as well. So just going to chill in a nice cool tent in front of the fan for a couple more hours yet. It's 2:15. They open the track for a walk at 3 p.m. French time. So that's what I'm going to do. My plan today was to run it initially. Training for my own 24-hour endurance event currently. Training plan, I actually had a 13-kilometre run on it today, which was ideal, considering the track length's 13.626. However, the forecast is currently for a high of 32. And even I'm not stupid enough to go running in that sort of heat. It's also forecasting thunderstorms from 3 o'clock, so it could be an interesting track walk weather-wise. Nevertheless, it took me about 2.5-3 hours, I think, to walk that. Be an enjoyable afternoon. Going to head into the village first of all, take a look around at what's there, see if there's any nice cars, anything on display, that sort of thing. I'll take some pictures and probably throw them up on the socials. And if there's anything interesting, I'll check in with you guys as well. So it's 3:10, finally made my way onto the track after the usual success of French organisation. I had one guy telling us to go one way, another guy telling us to go another way, and in the end just ignored them all, followed the crowd, found the way onto the track. Village was a good walk, had a look in the manufacturer village, some decent cars on display there, Toyota 85C, Sauber Mercedes C9 I think it is, absolutely fantastic looking cars. All surprised me exactly how small they are, way smaller in person than you think. A couple of more modern cars as well. As I was saying before, I was so rudely interrupted by the track PA there. Quite a few more modern examples of the cars in the village as well. Porsche 963, Toyota TSO 40s and 50s, and BMW, whatever it's called, were also there. And an Iron Dames Porsche as well. I do quite like the Iron Dames. Had the opportunity to wander through the paddock as well. See, it's always a good opportunity. You can mingle in the paddock at Le Mans with no special access needed to where the hospitality units are. Spotted a few people. Andrew Cotton, editor of Race Car Engineering. Tony Cowan Brown, quite a successful TikTok F1 motorsports influencer, and a couple of drivers as well, Andre Lotterer and Emanuele Pirro, two that spring to mind there. And as I said, embarking on the track walk now, I've just about made it to turn one, so I'll check in later. So I'm about 2 kilometres into the lap, just made it through control at Tête Rouge. For those that haven't done the track walk or intend to do a track walk, just be aware you need your ticket to exit and enter the permanent parks of the track. So you don't... Oh, hello. Lamborghini Diablo VT just gone under the track beneath me. Lovely. Yeah, you need a ticket to enter the permanent parts of track, the public parts of track. So Tech Rouge down to Porsche curves are... You don't need a ticket, but that does mean you need to be scanned in and out. And, of course, in true French fashion, there are... six people scanning you out of the track and probably 1,000 times that trying to get through the control at the minute. So walk up to Dunlop is steep, but not as steep as I remember. The drop through the forest S's is way steeper than I remember. Interesting observations, a lot of rubber down on the curbs. I did tread on it to see how it is, and it feels like a nightclub dance floor at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's how sticky it is. I don't know whether that's the heat or the new rubber that Michelin have bought this weekend, but yeah, that's a surprise. I've never felt that before. Just walking past the Alan Simonson tribute on the outside of Tête Rouge. Yeah, it was a somber moment. I remember the odd wave of quiet that passed over the track when that incident occurred. Not a nice feeling. Something I hope I never have to experience again. Anyway, as I say, I'm 2 kilometres down, 40 minutes in so far. 15 minutes of that is stood waiting to get through control. So, yeah, let's get to it. 4:30, hour and 20 minutes into this. 6 kilometres just as I'm at the 100-metre board for the second chicane. One thing I always forget is there's a giant lake just on driver's right here. Didn't realise that until I walked the track a couple of years ago. It's looking rather dry out there though today, especially in this heat. It's currently 33 degrees. I said I planned to run it, but decided not to because of the heat. Interestingly, my run was meant to be a zone 2 run. In this heat and the walking pace I'm doing, I'm actually in that zone anyway, so I'm getting the workout in I expected in the first place. Not much to say about this part of the track. It's essentially an A road. Pretty boring. One thing I've noticed today that I'd never seen before. It's a big wooden cross with flowers on it at the outside of the chicane, the right-hand turn on the exit of the first chicane. No idea what that's there for. If anybody knows, please do drop us a message. I'll probably do some research later. As I say, 6K in, stopping for a quick bit of Kendall mint cake and to get my water out before cracking on. So now 2 hours, 10 minutes in. Just come up to 9.6 kilometres. That takes us to the... right-hand kink before Indianapolis. I don't know if this corner actually has a name. It's always just the kink before Indianarche to me. Surprising how much it slopes, or banks, I should say, from the left to the right. And then, obviously, Indianapolis banks heavily towards the inside, the left-hand side of the track. Gets its name because of that. Obviously, the Indianapolis Raceway opened decade or so before the official Le Mans circuit did. Tricky corner. Anyone who's driven it in any sort of sim such as iRacing knows how difficult that corner can be. One thing I noticed on the way into the kink is AstroTurf on the left hand side of the track. Didn't realise that was there. Must have missed that the past couple of years. Strange place for it. Must be there to stop them opening up the entry too much and making it even faster than it already is. One of the joys of walking to this part of the track is once you get past the kink on the Mulsanne straight and into Mulsanne corner itself, they actually have a car show there. People who are in, I believe it's the Mulsanne car club, can rock up, park their cars on the track and just show them off to the masses of people walking past. Pretty much anything you can think of there. Dominated by Porsches as usual. A couple of nice ones. A GT3 took my fancy. There's Alpine A110s as well. I really like those. Quite a few of those in various different colours. Only one blue one, which surprises me. The orange one with the black roof, which I believe is an A110R, my particular favourite. And there's a couple of older cars as well. Again, highlights of which were a Peugeot 404, absolutely immaculate. And a bizarre number of MGs on French plates as well. Probably seen more French MGs than I've seen British MGs. I'm talking about the original MG here, not this new Chinese one. Anyway, it's cooling off a bit, this area of the track. There's a nice breeze coming through, cooling me down. Like I say, 2 hours, 10 minutes in, now at 9.83 kilometres as I come up to the apex of the Indy corner. So yeah, maybe another 50 minutes to go. 12.3k down, so just 1.3k to go. Just exiting the Porsche curves. It all surprised me how different these feel now they've opened it up and moved the walls back on the right hand side, driver's right. I'm still used to it from iRacing where the walls are right up against the track edge. Obviously these are all moved back, a bit more runoff. It feels so much more open and quicker than it does the old way. Always surprises me as well how much uphill the entry to Porsche curves is. It always catches me out. I know it's uphill, but I don't think about it being that much uphill. And again, another corner that's got AstroTurf on the outside before the turn in. Once more, assuming that's to prevent the drivers from opening the corner up too much and making it quicker than it already is. Anyway, 2 hours 42 down. I'd say just 1.2, 1.3 kilometres to go. So probably coming under the 3 hours when it's all said and done. And at 2 hours 56 minutes 41 seconds, I have done 13.66 kilometres there. Clearly a bit of weaving going on some of the straights to get over the official track distance. Hope you enjoyed that lap. I know it was no Alan McNish from Truth in 24, but hopefully it was enjoyable for you. Certainly was for me. Surprises me that I do 13k runs and above quite regularly, but for some reason that felt way harder than any of those I did. I've got a nice 13, 14k route at home that I do regularly, and I don't know, for some reason it feels shorter than it did today. I guess Le Mans, you've got a lot of long straights that are just trees on either side. Just makes it feel longer. But yeah, thoroughly enjoyed that. Anyway, I'm thinking I'm going to head back to the tent now. Get myself a nice cold drink out of the chiller. Cool down a bit. It's 10 past 8 and the weather has broken in a ginormous way. Sure you can hear that. I'm not even sure you'll be able to hear me over it, but tents are blowing in the wind, the rain is streaming down, there's thunder strikes everywhere, thunder claps everywhere as well. Insert Jason Statham here.
So that's day 4 done for Sim. So an interesting look around the village and the cars on show there, and some excellent name dropping from Sim. Excellent knowledge of his cars, and yeah, really good to listen to. The track walk was, I really enjoyed listening to Sim. It's interesting because we walked it together last year, and particularly the lake on the driver's right of the second chicane was something I learned about last year. I didn't know that before. And we had a chat about, I wonder how many drivers actually know about that, because obviously they're so low down when they're driving and they're so focused, obviously, when they're on track, that it's not for them to really pick up. It's not a mark or anything like that. So maybe something that may go unnoticed. And yeah, good to know the car show was back on down at Mulsanne. Always a great mix of stuff there. I imagine this year there's, like Sim mentioned, with Alpine and Renault, a few newer cars kind of probably being showed off. You'd hope that Sim would have a nice chilled evening back at the campsite now just to look forward to tomorrow, but as we heard at the end, the rain always comes at Le Mans, to paraphrase Mr. Statham. So he now just got himself a nice little waterproof tent reading race car engineering. So I know Sim, that's how he'll be enjoying himself. So looking forward to today's running using the racing lineup. We have the warm-up of only 15 minutes at 11 a.m. and then the race starts at 3 p.m. on the dot. And that's it. That's all the sessions for the day. And that's, you know, the only one that matters. So as usual, if there's anything you'd like to ask or comment on, then please, we have the Vocash channel on the Racing Line app Discord and Sim Social on Blue Sky linked in the description. We also have the opportunity to comment on Spotify. And please give a 5-star rating on any pod platform of your choice. Let's look forward to a brilliant 24 hours of Le Mans, and we'll join Sim on the Sunday, probably his first half review of the race and his plans for the night running.